We started last week a study in the book of Mark, and we're going to do just like we did last week. We did not go to the book of Mark to begin with. We went to the book of Isaiah chapter 52 and chapter 53, and we've seen how that the book of Mark presents Christ as God's servant. But this week, instead of going back, we're going to go forward. We're going to go to Acts chapter number 12. So if you'll turn to Acts chapter number 12, we will begin again our study in the book of Mark. So we're going to see some things tonight, and we will get into the book of Mark tonight, I promise you that. But we're going to lay a little groundwork first about who is Mark. Who is this Mark? And this will really help us understand the book of Mark, to understand who Mark is, because it is significant to understanding more about the book of Mark, to understand a little bit about the person of Mark. Now, Mark is not like James. Remember when we studied the book of James and trying to sort out all the different men in the Bible named James? I can't even remember how many there are, but there's several. And other names in the Bible are like that. There's more than one. There's more than one Mary. And so you go to studying about Mary in the Bible, and it'll take a long time just to sort all the Marys out. But when you come to Mark, now this is easy, because there's only one Mark in the Bible. And so as we study about Mark, we don't have to sort out and say, well, this one was this one's son and this one was this one's brother. But we're going to see some things about Mark. We're studying the book of Mark, or beginning to. This is still, I would say, just an introduction. And so maybe the first page in your Bible says the Gospel according to St. Mark, or something like that. So we're going to look just a few minutes tonight and see and ask some questions about who is Mark. Now, he was not an original disciple, but he was a convert of the Apostle Peter. And the reason we say that is because 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13 says, "The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son." And so about everything you read about Mark, it refers to Peter leading him to the Lord. And when you see that phrase, if it wasn't a physical son, it was a son in the faith. Paul called Timothy his son in the faith. And so Peter called Mark, or Marcus, it's same name. He called him his son, Marcus, my son. Now, in Acts chapter number 12, we're going to see about Mark's family, and we're going to see some things about his name. Mark chapter number 12, let's begin in verse number 11. And we'll read verse 11 and verse number 12 and learn a couple of things about Mark. Verse 11 said, "And when Peter was come to himself," now he's just been delivered out of prison by an angel. The angel came and led him out, and so that's what has just happened. "He said," this is Peter, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark." So really his first name was John, and his last name, what we would call your last name, was Mark. And so the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And so we learn here a couple of things about Mark. We learn that his mother's name was Mary, and we learn that his name is John Mark. Now, John is a Jewish name, and Mark is a Latin name, or a Roman name. So he had a Jewish name, and he had a Latin name. John Mark, when we study about him in the Bible, he has to be younger than the rest of the disciples. He comes along later on in time, and we'll not deal with it tonight, but in Mark chapter 15 or 14, verse number 51, it talks about a certain young man who followed after Christ as he was being betrayed and led before the high priest. And everything you read, commentary says that's Mark referring to himself, that he is that certain young man. But he had to be younger than the rest. Peter calls him my son, Marcus my son. And this in Acts chapter 12, verse number 12, is the first mention of his name. So Mark is not mentioned by name until you come later on in the Bible to Acts chapter 12 and verse number 12. First time he's mentioned in the Bible. In Colossians chapter number 4, we learned over there when we studied in the book of Colossians that he was Barnabas's nephew. And so John Mark is the nephew of Barnabas. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 10, I'm just going to read it for you. It says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you and Marcus, sister's son, to Barnabas. So John Mark had a famous uncle in the Bible, Uncle Barnabas. And this Barnabas is the Barnabas of Paul and Barnabas. And you remember in the Bible, you probably remember that Paul and Barnabas, at first, it wasn't Paul and Saul or Silas, but it was Paul and Barnabas. And Paul and Barnabas went out together on the first missionary journey. And they were a great gospel duo. And they went out together and worked together and preached together. But we'll see over here in Acts chapter number 13 that eventually they had a little dispute among themselves, talking about Paul and Barnabas, and it was over John Mark. Their splitting of ways had to do with John Mark. The first missionary journey is in Acts chapter number 13. Turn over there, and we'll read in verse number 5. And we'll see John Mark over here. Acts chapter 13, verse number 5. But we see here that the Lord had called out Paul to go on the missionary journey. In verse 5, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. And so we see that Paul and Barnabas, they go out on what we call the first missionary journey, and it says here this John to their minister, that's John Mark. And he goes along with them on this missionary journey, and it's interesting, verses 6 through 12. First thing it happens, they run into opposition. They run into satanic opposition. And you know what? If you do something for God, you're going to run into satanic opposition. Don't be surprised when it comes. It's going to come. The devil doesn't like God's people doing God's work in God's way. And so what's he going to do? He tries to throw up blockades, and he tries to throw up discouragement and all of these things. So first thing they run into is opposition. And in verse number 13, Acts chapter 13, verse number 13. Now, when you find 13 in the Bible, it's not going to be good. And you see the numbers also are interesting to study out in the Bible. But Acts chapter 13, verse number 13, it said, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Now, why would he go back to Jerusalem? That's where his mama was. And after that first little leg of the journey there and that first run into opposition, we are not told all the reasons that what happened in John Mark's life, but after the first opportunity he had, he said, see you fellas, I'm going home to mama. I'm going back. I'm departing. I'm leaving. And that's what he did. He turned back. And so in Acts chapter 13, verse number 13, we see somebody turning back from their service to the Lord. And he said, I've had enough. Well, first missionary journey goes on. We don't hear anything else about John Mark, what happened to him, what he did when he went home. But I'm telling you, there's one that didn't forget about that. And that was Paul. Go over to Acts chapter number 15. We're just quickly getting some background information on John Mark. So, first missionary journey takes place. A couple years later, I'm going from memory right there, but it's been some time. It's been some time since the first missionary journey. They're not jumping on a jet. They're not traveling that way. Everything took more time. And so time goes by. Acts chapter number 15, verse number 36, it's about time to go on another missionary journey. And so Acts 15, verse 36, and some days after. So time has gone by. And it'd help us in our study of the Bible if we'd realize there's a lot of places time goes by. Some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again, second journey, and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Verse 37, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. So we're talking about the same young man here. Verse 38, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. So here's a division begins to brew and a problem begins to come up. And verse 39, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. And so Paul remembered that it was John Mark that left them high and dry on the mission field. And when they got ready to go back, Barnabas said, I want to give John Mark another opportunity. I want to give him another chance. And Paul, he said, no, sir. And boy, they fought about that. They disputed. There's a division rose up concerning that. And so they split ways. And John Mark went with Barnabas and they went to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas, is what the Bible says. And so that's just a little bit of information about John Mark. But there's some lessons we can learn right here in these few verses from this. We should remember, number one, don't ever forget that blood is thicker than water. Have you ever heard that? What's that mean? Blood is thicker than water. It means this. If somebody's family's involved, you better not stick your neck out too far. Because when it comes right down to it, no matter what they say, it's really hard to turn on your family. I've pastored a long time now, many years, and I've seen it over and over again. When it comes right down to it, no matter what people have said in the past or how good their intentions might be, 9.9 out of 10 times, people will go with their family over what the preacher says. And we even see that with Barnabas. Now, Barnabas was a good man and Paul was a good man. And they should have worked this out, seems to me like, but they could not work it out, and it was over John Mark. It was over the nephew that had departed and left them in the work and did not go with them. Now, I'm not saying that's good or bad. That's good. You know what? If I was the worst criminal in the county, my mother would stick up for me and my brother. That's how family is. That's good. But that's just something to realize when you're dealing with people in life, that but that family tends to stick together. Number two, I learned this, that God is a God of second chances. God is a God, our God that we serve is a God of second chances. Now, right then, Paul was not willing to give Mark a second chance. Barnabas was. And later on, Paul did give him a second chance. But God is a God of second chances, and time heals a lot of wounds. Time had to go by, and we forget that a lot of times. We don't have very much patience sometimes, and if somebody tells us, they say, well, give it time. Well, we don't want to hear that, do we? We don't want to give it time. That's good advice, but it's hard to heed. Well, just give it some time. Boy, we are used to and we want and we expect immediate results. But God Himself doesn't deal in things in immediate results. You took time. I've taken a lot of time. And you know what? Like the little children's song, He's still working on me. It takes time. But we want immediate results. We want immediate restoration. We want immediate responsibility to be restored when somebody messes up. But that is just not the way the world works. And God doesn't even work that way. But time is a great healer. And we see that over the process of time, and we're not even told in the Bible how it came about. But I believe that John Mark, as he went with Barnabas, he stayed faithful, and over time, he proved himself to be different from that young man that left the mission field hastily. Over time, he proved himself to be faithful, and by the end of the Apostle Paul's life, he's coming down to his last days upon the earth, and he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, he said, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Something had changed in the life of John Mark, and Paul, who at one time wouldn't give him a second chance, now he said, make sure you bring Mark. He's profitable to me for the ministry. And also over past that in the book of Philemon after 2 Timothy, Paul refers to Marcus. He refers to Aristarchus and some other men over there, and he calls them my fellow laborers. So he'd been working with Marcus, John Mark. And so there's some things to learn about John Mark and who he was. But there's also some things we can learn from the life of John Mark. I want to mention about four things tonight. All this still by the way of introduction, and this is going to help us learn when we get into the book of Mark. But we can learn some things from the life of Mark. We can learn first of all about the importance of a Christian home. John Mark's life illustrates that for us. And this would really be good for a Mother's Day message. If somebody was looking for one, I got studying about this and I thought, boy, I might preach this on Mother's Day. Because how important is a Christian home? Now, John Mark, there's no mention of his father. You study about him, his father is never mentioned. I personally wonder if his father wasn't a Gentile, because he had a Jewish name and he had a Gentile name. He had the name of John, that's a Jewish name, but Mark is a Latin name, a Roman name. So we know that Timothy had a Jewish mother and a Greek father. The Bible says that, but the Bible says nothing about John Mark's father, but he does have a Gentile surname. So I wonder if his father wasn't probably a Gentile. But when we think about John Mark and we learn what we learn here in Acts chapter number 12, he was raised no doubt by a single mother because his father's not mentioned. He was raised by a mother who regularly opened her home to the brethren. And they were used to going there and having prayer meeting. Now, everybody I've read about or studied about said that she was well off because she had a home and she was able to open it up. And even when Peter went to her home, remember, he knocked at the gate. And so she had a home that had a gate to it. She lived in a gated neighborhood even way back then. And so Peter had to knock at the gate, and the damsel came out, had to open the gate. But here is John Mark's mother, and this is the home that one of the most powerful prayer meetings in all of history took place. Because Peter's down there in prison. But prayer was made by the church unto God for him. That's what the Bible says. And God so heard that prayer that he sent an angel and got Peter out of prison, a divine jailbreak. And so that prayer meeting took place. Can you imagine? Young John Mark. He's probably a grown man by that time, but he's still young and impressionable. Can you imagine such a happening taking place in your house? Boy, the church, I remember one time the church got together and prayed for Peter. He was in prison. There was no way out. They was going to put him to death the next day. And the next thing you know, while we were praying, we heard a knock at the gate, and it was Peter. That's Mark's home life. That's Mark's mother. That's what he has seen with his own eyes. So the importance of a Christian home. And the Bible just says in Acts chapter 12, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John. And if you've got a godly mother, you say, amen. Amen. What an influence. We realize that. I realize that. And also, we got to realize how important it was to have an Uncle Barnabas. Because Barnabas was a great man. And so here's John Mark. We don't know anything about his father, if he even had one. Probably his mother was a widow. But he had a good Uncle Barnabas. And the Bible says about Barnabas that he was a good man. He was a kind man. He was full of the Holy Ghost. He was a leader. He had a heart for the things of God. And so what a great influence. Here's a young man. His home life is not perfect, but he's got a good Christian home. And he's got a good mama, and he's got a good father figure in his life, old Uncle Barnabas. And so how important that is. How important that is. And I hope that young people appreciate a Christian home. So Mark had the importance of a Christian home. Second of all, there's the importance of right friends. All we ever read about John Mark, he's surrounded by good, godly people. He's surrounded by and fellow laborers with people like Peter and Paul and Barnabas and Aristarchus, and the importance of good friends cannot be overemphasized. And you young people, well, you really ought to watch who your friends are. Because it will impact and influence your life more than you realize. There's a lot of things you could say about that. There's a saying, you are known by the company you keep. And you are. Who you hang around. I've said this many times, and I heard somebody else say it. You are now, or you soon shall be, what your friends now are. You'll become what your friends are. I heard this recently. A preacher said, show me a man's friends and I'll show you his future. Boy, isn't that true? Show me a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, show me their friends and I'll show you their future. And oh, how many times does friends end up in trouble together? They're led along together, get into things together. So I think about that, the importance of right friends. Now, they weren't all the same age. A lot of his friends and people he was around were older than him. You know what? That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Our society thinks that all the 5-year-olds need to be together, and all the 13-year-olds need to be together, and all the 18-year-olds. That is not always a good thing. Sometimes that's a bad thing. See, God made the family. Society makes all these rules. It says all the children of the same age. But God made a family, and in a family you've got children spread out all different ages. It's very good to have the different ages mixed together if they're all on the right page. And so I was thinking about what got me thinking about that is a lot of my friends are a lot different in age from me. And we've got a lot of friends, friends in church, Christian friends, preacher friends. When Kim's daddy passed away, Preacher Honeycutt called me. Preacher Tull called me, checked on us. Preacher Forbes called me. And I told Kim after that, I don't know that it's really hit me like it did, but I told her, I said, all these years we've taught together and went to school together. I told her, these men are my friends. Well, I appreciate that. They didn't have to do that, but they called and checked on us. We're all different ages. That's all right. The importance of good friends, the importance of right friends. Number three, something else we learned from his life. The importance of realizing the possibilities of life. Now, what I mean by that, if we just study out and we just ask ourselves, who is John Mark? Do you know the world would say about John Mark, he's nobody special. I mean, he comes from no recognized lineage. He doesn't have famous family or anything like that. Who is John Mark? And then John Mark goes on this first missionary journey, and here's how we say it sometimes. He flaked out, didn't he? He just flaked out on them. Here he did come home, and you know what people said after that? Well, I didn't think he'd amount to anything. Isn't that what it would be like? Well, I'm not surprised. You know, I've known him all my life, and he's always sort of this away and that away. That's what they'd have said about John Mark, wouldn't they? Here he come home, and here he might have made out like he's really going to go off and do something, and it wasn't long, he was right back home. Well, who is John Mark? But you know, here's what I really like about John Mark. John Mark's try again, never broke. And we can take a great lesson from him from that. So you've messed up. Well, who hasn't? Try again. I read something one time that said, try, fail. Try again, fail harder. Try again. That's how life is. John Mark, yes, he messed up and he came home and he caught a lot of slack and he caused a church split. Not a church split, but a preacher split. But he didn't stop. He didn't give up and throw up his hands. He kept on. You don't think Mark made a difference? You say, yeah, and a lot of people say, well, old Mark, I wouldn't have let him come back either. But you know what? There's only one Mark in the Bible, but how many people do you know named Mark? I was trying to figure it up today. I know a lot of men named Mark. Where does that come from? It comes from the Bible. The man in the Bible that failed, but he didn't quit trying. And God chose him to write the Gospel of Mark. And if you know somebody named Mark, that's who they are named after. And so there's Mark and his influence. And number four, not only do we learn a lesson about the possibilities of life, but number four, we learn about the importance of faithful service. Now, John Mark, if you really think about it, you'll never read of a miracle that John Mark was involved in or performed. You know, Paul, he performed miracles. Peter was involved. I mean, many of these men, they were there at the raising of the lame man, and I mean all of these great miracles in the Bible, but you don't read about John Mark being around any of them. Nowhere, nothing. Nothing in the ministry of John Mark. You read no prayers that John Mark ever prayed. You hear there's no sermon in the Bible that John Mark ever preached. Nothing. Nothing like that in the life of John Mark. Now, we can suppose some things about him. I learned this. I didn't know this before studying today. His name, Marcus, it means a large hammer or polite. Now, that seemed like a contradiction to me. A large hammer or polite. I thought to myself, he's the original, speak softly but carry a big stick. That's what that name means. A large hammer or to be polite. But we don't know any of these things. And you know what? As you study the book of Mark never talks about Mark. Doesn't talk about anything that he done. And he just tells about Jesus. Well, there's a lesson in that. He didn't say, when me and the Lord went here, when I saw it, he didn't say any of those things. He just tells about the Lord Jesus Christ and his mighty powerful acts that he did. So we're going to get into that. But what we do know about John Mark is that every time we see him in the Bible, he is described as helping somebody or being a fellow laborer. When you see John Mark in the Bible, that's the kind of man that you see. That's all we know about him. He's a helper. He's profitable to me for the ministry. That's what you know about John Mark. There's the importance of faithful service. And God chose this man to pen the gospel that sets forth the Lord Jesus Christ as the servant of God and the servant of man. See, God chose John Mark for a reason. To exemplify or to write down the gospel that pictured Christ as the servant. Now, Mark exemplifies the key verse in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 10. I told you we'd get into the book of Mark. I'm almost done. I'm going to finish. But we're going to get into the book of Mark tonight and say just a few things. Mark chapter 10. And verse number 45 is the key verse in the book of Mark. If you want to know what the book of Mark's about, read Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Here it is. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That's the key verse. And does not John Mark his life exemplify that? Because all he ever done was ministered. That word minister means to serve. So John Mark, his whole life, we find him, he's a servant. He's a fellow laborer. He's a helper in the ministry. And so he pictures in his life the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Isn't that a blessing? And so when you study the book of Mark, you got to remember who Mark is. Mark's a servant. He understands what it is to just be a helper. You know, a lot of people want to be in the limelight. But I'm telling you, it's not all it's cracked up to be. A lot of people in the limelight would like to say, boy, I wish nobody didn't know me. Didn't know my name. There's a lot of pressure. If your name's on the church sign, there's a lot of people knows you that you don't know them. There's a lot of pressure to it. So there's two ways of looking at things. So we come to Mark chapter 1, verse 1. Let's go over there. Mark chapter 1, verse number 1. So we study about the life of Mark. Now we know some things about him. We know the The theme of the book of Mark was prophesied in the Old Testament in Jesus Christ being the servant. We studied that last week, Isaiah chapter 52, chapter 53, other chapters over there. When we come to chapter 1, verse 1, it says simply this: the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that's how the book of Mark begins. He just jumps right in. The book of Luke actually covers the longest period of time. It starts before the birth of John the Baptist and goes right up to the ascension. The book of Luke covers about probably 33, 35 years, somewhere around in that, probably about 35 years. The book of Mark is the shortest of the Gospels. There's a lot of things not in the book of Mark that are in the others, just a few years, maybe 6 or 7 years, the book of Mark. It's the shortest. It gets right to the point, buddy. He jumps right in. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face. He's talking there about John the Baptist. We'll get into that next week, but the beginning. So you come to the beginning of the book of Mark, and we understand why he gets right into the business at hand, because that's what a servant would do. He just jumps right in. And he begins to tell about the wonderful works of the Lord Jesus Christ. The key word in the book of Mark is the word of a servant. And it's just simply this, the word straightway. Straightway. That means they got it done right then. Now, I didn't get that out of the Strong's Concordance, but that's what it means. Immediately, straightway. When we think about our service to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ought to think about the book of Mark, when should we get it done? We ought to get it done pretty quick. Straightway, that's the key. That's the key. That's the theme in the book of Mark. Now, I know what you might be thinking tonight. Well, preacher, why don't you be more straightway? It's taken 2 weeks to get into one verse, and we've just read the verse. And the reason I'm like that is because sometimes if you're going to get the treasure, you got to have the combination first. And if we'll get the combination, if we'll get the background, if we'll learn some things about the person, Mark, then that's the combination and we can get into where the treasure is. Because it means a whole lot more to me to know that Mark was really a servant and had a servant's heart. And he tells us about the servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's some other things we'll look at last week. It's important that he had a Gentile name, because Mark is a book for the Gentiles. And so there's a lot of things we can take away from the person that wrote the Gospel of Mark. And I'll close there tonight. I appreciate your good attention, and I hope you got something out of it. I learned some things about Mark that I just didn't know before. And so I hope you've learned some things as well. I don't know if I'd never really thought about it or never considered it, but it was interesting to me to find out that there's only one Mark in the Bible.